Good afternoon, 4:30 and 56 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Ellen Barnett.
On prevailing wage, a certain number of workers are mandated to be paid a higher wage. This necessarily drives up costs.
Comments by State Senator Steve West Saturday about Kentucky's prevailing wage law have drawn a sharp rebuke from another Eastern Kentucky lawmaker.
The Occupational Safety and Health Administration is probing the cause of an explosion Tuesday that injured six people at a power plant in Aberdeen.
And Moorhead State University President Wayne Andrews today delivers his last convocation address.
In sports, the Moorhead State women's basketball team is at Tennessee State tonight, hoping to extend their 9-game winning streak.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
Scattered showers this evening, lows in the mid-50s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
The J.M. Stewart Generating Station in Aberdeen is closed today after an explosion Tuesday injured six people.
We had an industrial incident, some sort of an explosion at the plant, and we've got multiple injuries, at least five people. I need the fire department and ambulance service.
A spokesman for Dayton Power and Light says the blast occurred around 1 p.m. in a warehouse area where equipment and a turbine are stored. None of those hurt are said to have sustained life-threatening injuries. Several were taken to Meadowview Regional Hospital in Maysville. Jessica Updike lives near the coal-fired facility. She tells WKRC it was quite an explosion.
And it sounded like a huge semi had just blasted through town. It shook the windows in my house. It had my fiance getting out of the hobby room and looking at me like, what was that?
DPNL officials and investigators from the Occupational Safety and Health Administration are on the scene today looking into the cause of that blast.
WYMT is reporting that charges are pending against two students at Morgan County High School accused of making a bomb threat at the building on Monday. Classes were canceled that day and students were sent home after the note was discovered in a school bathroom. There was heightened security at MCHS Tuesday. West Liberty Police investigated the incident. In addition to criminal charges, the students may also be disciplined by the high school.
Details of Governor Matt Bevin's investigation into former Governor Steve Beshear, including interviews with 16 anonymous state workers, have been released. KNN's Haley Hansen has that story.
The 18-page report is the first to emerge after Bevin awarded a state contract for up to $500,000 to an Indiana-based law firm to investigate the administration of former Governor Steve Beshear. The report says seven officials in the Beshear administration illegally pressured some state workers to donate to Democratic candidates and causes in 2015 and earlier or risk losing their jobs. Beshear has since called the report a joke and a, quote, waste of taxpayer money. I'm Haley Hansen.
Nine heroin overdoses in a 24-hour period make the busiest span of ODs Jessamine County has seen since August. KYT reports none were fatal, although Nicholasville authorities find the spike disconcerting, as they normally see two a day. Nicholasville Police Officer Kevin Grimes says they are working to track down the source of the drugs.
We're just hoping that we can slow this down by maybe getting some of these dealers off the streets by connecting the dots and putting it together.
Grimes says most of the heroin in Jessamine County comes down from I-75, so police can anticipate overdose spikes by looking for them in Ohio and Lexington.
Republican Governor Matt Bevin is blasting the decision by Attorney General Andy Beshear not to defend a new Kentucky law that bans abortions after 20 weeks of pregnancy. The AG is a Democrat who says the law is unconstitutional, but Bevin says it's not up to Beshear to make that judgment.
Our Attorney General apparently is under the impression that he gets to pick and choose when he does his job. He was elected and is in fact being paid by you, the taxpayers of Kentucky, and the voters of Kentucky, to defend the laws of the Commonwealth of Kentucky. He's not allowed to just pander to his base.
Bevin claims that's what the Attorney General is doing. The governor says Kentuckians deserve better. Bevin made his comments in a Facebook post.
Last week's vote in the Senate to repeal the state's prevailing wage law touched off a lively debate between two senators who represent parts of eastern Kentucky. Steve West is a Republican whose district includes Rowan and Fleming counties. Ray Jones is a Democrat who represents Elliott, Morgan, and Lawrence counties. West says he voted to repeal the law because he's opposed to the government establishing pay rates. Jones says government does many things to improve people's lives, and setting a living wage has been among them. However, West says repeal of the prevailing wage helps Kentuckians in three ways.
More jobs, more construction, and more money in the pockets of our taxpayers.
My question is, do I understand your testimony correctly that you are opposed to the prevailing wage law because it is an artificially set wage?
That is part of the reason, is my belief that prevailing wage is an artificially set wage.
Does the senator from Bourbon also oppose having a minimum wage, since it too is an artificially set minimum wage?
Yeah, I am not a proponent of a minimum wage set by the government.
Senator Jones says it's the first time he's ever heard a public official say the U.S. should not have a minimum wage. West says Kentucky can do a lot more public works projects without the prevailing wage law.
The Kentucky Department of Revenue and Fayette County Property Value Administrator have announced changes aimed at preventing abuse of tax breaks. However, officials say legislative action is needed to clean up ambiguous rules. Josh James has that story.
In 2016, a Lexington Herald Leader investigation uncovered 43 Lexington properties slated for development that benefited from tax breaks intended for working farms. By classifying the land, including some large lawns surrounding suburban homes, as agricultural, owners were able to decrease their tax bills by as much as 40%. While no revisions to the tax statutes are anticipated during the 2017 legislative session, the PVA's office is tightening its interpretation of the existing rules. Tuesday, the PVA announced four changes, including using best efforts to continually verify that the land is being used as intended, a new application process for the agricultural classification, and the exclusion of residences in determining whether land meets minimum acreage requirements. According to the Herald Leader, Kentucky waived more than $36 billion in property value in 2015 for acres assessed as agricultural, but in most counties, no one checked to verify how the land was used. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
The Moorhead City Council has given initial passage to a statute that will lead to the formation of a tax increment financing district downtown. Once the city and Rowan County Fiscal Court both approve the TIF proposal, Mayor Jim Tom Trent says an interlocal board will be set up to administer the program.
The judge executive will be on there. You'll have one from fiscal court, and you'll have one county at large resident that'll be on there. Then myself, city council member, and then we'll have a city resident on there. And then to make the odd number so that for voting purposes, we also thought it was important because of the way that who it and what area it directly impacts, and that would be our economic development director, which is Bob Helton.
Tony Pence, executive director of Downtown Moorhead Incorporated, will chair the TIF board as a non-voting member. Municipalities use designated TIF districts to induce development in certain parts of their cities. Developers receive tax breaks based on the leveraging of future property and occupational taxes. The Rowan Fiscal Court is expected to give its first okay to a TIF measure at its meeting next Tuesday.
Another step is about to be taken in the renovation of the old Rowan County Jail on the Courthouse Square in Moorhead. Gary Lewis is spokesman for the Rowan Historical Society, which is heading up the project. Lewis says nearly $9,000 will be spent to ensure that the 80-year-old building's electrical system is up to code.
Mostly running the circuits to make sure that the outlets are working correctly, and you know that you don't have to, well, is this an old one or is it not an old one, or is it, you know, it's just to completely redo and either make use of what's already there, or just to make sure that it is in proper working order.
Lewis says the Historical Society has the money on hand for the project and a contractor has already been hired. He expects the work to start in the next few weeks.
Speaking today to Moorhead State's faculty and staff, President Wayne Andrews presided over his final campus convocation. Andrews, who retires June 30th, spent much of the event reflecting on the school's accomplishments during his 12 years at MSU. He also noted its top challenges moving forward: to continue to provide a quality education to its students and to help improve things in Kentucky's most impoverished area, despite changes in the demographics of the institution's service region and a continuing decline in state funding support. Andrews said solving those problems won't be up to his successor alone. It will take the efforts of the 1,000 people who work at Morehead State.
The leader has a lot to say, setting the tone, providing a direction. All those things are very important. But the 1,000 people that work here at Morehead State University, that care about this place, the noble mission that we have to lift people out of poverty, provide a serious and superlative education, and contribute to the economy of this region, you have the keys to the kingdom.
Andrews added that the circumstances surrounding higher education are changing, and MSU needs to change along with him in order to thrive and continue to meet the goals set for it back in 1887 when it was founded by Frank and Phoebe Button.
Mason County School Superintendent Rick Ross has been given a new 4-year contract. The Maysville Ledger Independent reports that Ross's services have been secured through June 30th of 2021. The vote by the school board was 4-1. The new accord also gives the superintendent a pay increase from $140,000 to $165,000.
The village of New Boston is preparing to enter Phase 4 on a project aimed at improving water quality in the Ohio River by updating the town's antique and outmoded storm and sanitary sewers. Village Administrator Steve Hamilton explains why the current system, dating from the 1940s, is no longer working for the town.
A CSO is a combined sewer overflow. That means your sanitary and storm is running in the same line. That means when you get stuff like heavy rain, storms, they're combined. Well, when they get to the major inline pipes that goes to the lift station on West Avenue, they get overwhelmed, and then they discharge into the Ohio River.
Hamilton has been working on the project with the Ohio EPA, as well as several other organizations, since he started on the job in 2009. The Water Pollution Control Loan Fund played a large part in funding the project by providing no-interest loans. The project just completed Phase 3 of 8 phases.
U.S. Senator Mitch McConnell says it's long past time to repeal the Affordable Care Act, sometimes called Obamacare. The Kentucky Republican says he's hearing that from constituents all over the Commonwealth.
Kentuckians want to see lower costs, more choices, and better care. But after 7 long years of rising costs and diminishing options, Obamacare has not delivered.
McConnell claims insurance premiums in Kentucky this year rose 47%, and many families just can't afford such policies. Though the ACA was approved in 2010, many of its provisions did not take effect until 2014.
People attending the Melitha Etheridge concert at the Paramount Arts Center in Ashland Tuesday night got a little more than they expected. A couple of protesters outside the Winchester Avenue facility told those buying tickets they were supporting Sin because Etheridge was a gay rights advocate. Zachary Humphrey was one of those men. He spoke with WSAZ.
If the person was a drunkard, I think it would be unwise. If they were an adulterer, if they were a liar or a thief, then I would feel the same way. So it's not personally homosexuality we have a problem with. It's one of the many things that damns a soul. A concert that hardens you in sin, to me, is not beneficial.
The Huntington station says the Paramount was packed for the Etheridge performance.
And finally this afternoon, the Kentucky Cash Ball has undergone a major redesign, and this, the Commonwealth's 225th anniversary. It's also the 15th anniversary of the Cash Ball game. Lottery spokesman Chip Polston says after a 3% drop in sales last year, the game was in need of change, but not just its appearance.
We've simplified the game as well by doing a couple different things, eliminating some add-on features and the like, because players thought that was just a little too much. By changing the game, having the new top prize, offering better lower-tier prizes, we think folks in Kentucky are really going to re-engage with Cashball 225.
Polston says Cashball 225 is unique because it's a Kentucky-only game.
Taking a look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight, cloudy skies, there's a 30% chance of scattered showers, Temperatures will be in the mid-50s. Your Thursday will be warm, a little windy, cloudy skies, and a 60% chance of showers. Highs will be in the upper 60s. Thursday night, rainy, lows in the mid-30s, a 90% chance of rain. Friday, much cooler, cloudy with a 40% chance of rain showers and highs in the lower 40s. And your Friday night will be cloudy with a 50% chance of rain and temperatures in the mid-30s. Taking a look at temperatures around the region, it's currently 54 degrees in Ashland and Flemingsburg. It's 56 degrees in Inez. It's 57 degrees in Lexington and Winchester, and it is 56 here in Moorhead.
445, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It's good to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. On our feature segment, a Kentucky Health Issues survey shows that 25% of the state's parents are concerned about their children's weight. Details from the Kentucky News Connection's Greg Stottlemyre.
Kentuckians point to obesity as the top health concern for the Commonwealth's children, according to a new report from the Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky. The Kentucky Health Issues poll found that 1 in 4 adults listed their children's weight as the biggest problem. When it comes to what children eat, nutrition expert Amanda Goldman says we need to make healthier choices the easier choices.
We've got to make things less expensive for folks. We need to make healthier foods become more marketable and kind of make them more attractive to people.
According to the CDC, obesity increased among high school students in Kentucky to 18.5% in 2015, up 2% from 2011, one of the worst rates in the nation. Goldman says in addition to policy changes, more education is needed to help children and their parents learn what's healthy to eat. Goldman, who is the director of diabetes and nutrition care for Kentucky One Health, says policies on unhealthy foods need to change, much like they did on tobacco years ago.
So that, you know, a sugar-sweetened beverage is hopefully going to be more expensive than a non-sugar-sweetened beverage. And again, making it easier, not just in terms of education, but also from the financial standpoint.
Goldman says when an adolescent is obese, it often leads to a myriad of problems for them later in life.
They obviously have much higher risk factors for cardiovascular disease, including high blood pressure and higher cholesterol levels, prediabetes developing into diabetes, and then all the different types of cancers.
When it comes to those health problems as an adult, 40% of those surveyed listed cancer as the top concern for women, especially breast cancer. Cancer and heart disease were equal concerns for men. According to the CDC, cancer and heart disease are the top two killers of Kentuckians. I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
It is 448. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. All things considered at 5 o'clock and Chuck has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio Works, serving Rowan and surrounding counties with WKCA at 97.7 FM. All the programming of WKCA, classic country music, news, and more is available worldwide on WKCARadio.com. Apps are available for both your Apple and Android devices. WKCA proudly supports Moorhead State University and Moorhead State Public Radio.
Eagle women hope to add another notch in the win column. Good afternoon from Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Chuck Mraz reporting. The Moorhead State women's basketball team has OVC action tonight at 7 at Tennessee State. Coach Greg Todd's Red Hot Eagles have won 9 in a row, thus improving their overall record to 14-3 and their conference mark to 4-0.
So far, so good, but we got to continue to get better. Has been a good, very good streak for us, and we're just playing them one game at a time.
Tennessee State is 1-2 in conference, 6-7 overall. The Moorhead State men's basketball team has a big win at Johnson Arena tomorrow night. The Eagles will try to improve on their 2-1 OVC record as they take on Belmont at 7 o'clock. An annual favorite to win the league, the Bruins are tied for first place in the OVC East right now with Tennessee Tech at 3-0. Freshman guard Jordan Walker has never played against Belmont, but knows MSU will face a challenge in trying to beat them.
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah. I've been watching them since I've been getting recruited by some OVC teams. I knew Belmont was one of the best teams in the conference, so we got to come out very disciplined versus this team.
MSU goes into the contest winners of 4 of its last 6. Number 14, Louisville makes an appearance at the Yum Center tonight, looking to improve on their 1-2 ACC mark. The Cardinals will host Pittsburgh at 7:05. Coach Rick Pitino says his team could have a hard time scoring on the Panthers, who are very good defensively.
I'll bet I watched 5 films on them, and I haven't seen teams haven't been able to run 5% of their offensive sets. Now, 5%. I've not seen that in quite some time, because they switch every option, because they're all the same size, basically, and they take you out of every offensive set that you want to run.
Pitt, like Louisville, is 1-2 in conference. Teams are shooting less than 44% from the field against the Panthers. Kentucky basketball coach John Calipari is pleased with the number 6 Wildcats' 87-81 win last night at Vanderbilt. Malik Monk helped UK hang on by scoring 6 of his 18 points in the game's final 32 seconds. According to Calipari, having to work hard for the victory was good for his Big Blue.
More of this is on me than these kids, because I got a talented group of kids. What they don't have is discipline and the focus they need to win when another team is disciplined. This is a disciplined team. They turned it over 7 times and we pressured. They're going to run their stuff and you cannot break down.
The Cats did hold Vandy to 43% shooting and only turned the ball over 6 times themselves. Isaiah Briscoe and De'Aaron Fox combined for 45 of 14-2 Kentucky's points. UK will host Auburn Saturday. This week's AP College basketball rankings have been released, and there's a new top team. More from Jack Briggs.
The Baylor Bears are the new number 1 team in the weekly Associated Press men's basketball poll. The Bears replaced Villanova, which was upset last week by Butler. The second-ranked school is Kansas, which received 8 first-place votes, with Villanova third after getting 1 first-place nod. Ranked number 4 is UCLA, and the Bruins were given the remaining first-place vote. The fifth-ranked team is unbeaten Gonzaga, while Kentucky is 6th, followed by Duke, Creighton, Florida State, and West Virginia. This is Jack Briggs.
With Baylor losing last night to number 10 West Virginia, it's a good bet the poll will have a new number 1 team next week. The Florida State assistant coach who was knocked over the Seminoles bench following a collision with Grayson Allen says he's certain there was no malice in the Duke guard's efforts. Assistant Dennis Gates posted on Twitter, "I know what a dirty play is, and I was not the victim of one." With about 6 minutes remaining in the 9th-ranked Seminoles 88-72 victory over number 7 Duke Tuesday night, in Allen's first road game since returning from a 1-game suspension for tripping an opponent, he leaped into the Florida State bench while chasing a rebound, and his right hand made contact with Gates, who tumbled onto his back. Gates says Allen, quote, made a great hustle play, and that he did not in any way feel attacked or disrespected by Allen. The Cincinnati Reds are keeping their fingers crossed that 2014 All-Star catcher Devin Mesoraco can return to form this year. Hip and shoulder injuries have basically cost the 28-year-old Mesoraco the last 2 seasons, but he says he's working hard to return to form.
I realize that, you know, this may be the last time that I'm going to have an opportunity to be an everyday pro and establish myself as one of the better catchers in the league. The guy that I think the organization invested and knew they had, and, you know, just hasn't turned out way everybody hoped.
In another Reds note, the team has signed former Dodgers setup man Lewis Coleman to a minor league contract. He went 2-1 for L.A. last season with a 4.69 ERA. Bill Hancock, the executive director of the College Football Playoff, has been given a 3-year contract extension through June 2020. The playoff's board of managers announced the move today, citing his oversight of the popular event. The playoff was announced in 2012, replacing the BCS, and began after the 2014-15 season. Have yourselves a good evening. For Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Chuck Mraz reporting.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball hosts Belmont tomorrow night at 7 o'clock and Tennessee State at 7:45 on Saturday. Women's basketball plays Belmont at 5:30 Saturday afternoon. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Ticket Office, 783-2386, or online at msueagles.com.
Support for MSPR comes from Eat Gallery, exquisite art treasures in historic downtown Maysville, Kentucky. Eat Gallery works with gold and silversmiths who specialize in creating wearable art jewelry. For the jewelry you no longer wear or heirlooms that need updating, Eat Gallery can create wearable pieces that will last generations. Open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday. Eat Gallery can be reached at 606-564-5578 and online at eatgallery.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. The Dow Industrials closed less than 50 points from the psychologically important 20,000 mark following President-elect Donald Trump's first news conference in months. The NASDAQ extended gains to its fifth straight record close, and major indices oscillated between small gains and losses during a lot of the session, while biotech stocks were notable losers after Trump said companies were, quote, getting away with murder with respect to drug prices. Energy shares were among the day's biggest gainers, rising alongside a jump in the price of crude oil. And at the close, the Dow Industrials showed a gain of 98.75 points, finishing at 19,954.28. The S&P 500 gained 6.42, ending at 2275.32, and the NASDAQ Composite added 11.83, finishing at a new record close of 5563.65. As mentioned, drug stocks under pressure today from Trump's remarks. The iShares NASDAQ Biotechnology ETF was down almost 3%. And among stocks in the news today, SuperValue was down 7.5% as the company reported sales below forecasts. Merck rose almost 3% after the drug maker said the FDA would grant a priority review for one of its lung cancer drug treatments. Ford was down 1.4% as the company announced a special dividend and gave updates on its earnings forecast for the current year late yesterday, and Ford essentially said that earnings would be actually down just a little bit from 2016 this year. And in other markets, European stocks ended modestly higher, up about 0.25%, and in Asia, stocks outside of China broadly rose. And the dollar regained some strength after early weakness today, and crude oil prices were strong, rebounding very strongly, adding more than 2% after two straight days of losses. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated down 8 cents at 110.84, CSX up 62 cents at 38.04, AK Steel down 3 cents at 11.02, Marathon Petroleum up 71 cents at 49.68, AEP up $1.03 at 63.15, and Community Trust Bank was up 25 cents to finish at 49. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Taking one last look at your weather forecast, expect lows in the mid-50s tonight with a 30% chance of rain showers. Warm tomorrow with a 60% chance of showers and highs in the upper 60s.
And that's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Barraz, Jacob Lindberg, and Chaz Jenkins from the Kentucky News Connection, Greg Stottlemyre, and from the Kentucky News Network, Haley Hansen. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ellen Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, MSPR News. ATC is next. It's 5 o'clock.